Welcome to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Let's get cooking, but not with vegetable oils.
Tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back for another episode of NPE Radio. Before we begin, a couple of things. You can find me at www.naturopathicearth.com. That's where you can find Kate and I. N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H, naturopath, like naturopathy. Earth.com. You can find me on Instagram at naturopathic_earth. That's where I post most of my live videos. And then you can find me at Twitter and Facebook at naturopathearth without the ick, without the ick. On Facebook, it's best just to follow my name, A. Gregory Luna, because I honestly don't know Facebook that well, so I don't know how to liven up my Facebook account. Man, I can't wait till Kate gets back from her trip to the West, because she knows that stuff better than I do. But even then, we're not the best at social media. Yeah. I did get a comment, though. I did post something on Instagram, and I got an email from somebody like, hey, you're growing out a beard. And I'm like, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I used to have beards back in the 90s. I had a goatee. Because it was very like early, mid-90s to have a like Reality Bites kind of goatee. You know, it was very kind of cool to do it. And I've either been blessed or cursed to have facial hair. When you're a tween, like, I can't wait till I get facial hair so I can look like an adult and be respected. And then when you start growing the facial hair, you're like, damn, this is a pain in the arse. I gotta shave all the time. But yeah, I've never had that problem. And there was a couple of times in the 90s where I grew a beard, but I always had dry skin. I always have dry skin and it would get very dry and flaky. And so it looked disgusting. Like I had just finished eating coconut flakes or I'd face dandruff or something like that. Now that I moisturize my face with coconut oil, I don't have that problem. But this is the typical after the end of the school year, let's grow my beard because I really don't care. And we'll see how long it lasts. I doubt it's going to last much longer. But 4 years ago, I did grow a beard for about a year, but I wasn't shaving my head. So when I don't shave my head, I am balding, clearly. That's a newsflash to you guys. But I would look kind of creepy. I would look like, hey, come into my white van. I got some candy. So now I shave my head. I shave it with a razor just to keep it clean so I don't look as, hey, come into my house. Of course, I would never do that. I'm joking. Okay, we don't joke about stuff like that. Anyway, let's talk about cooking fats. Cooking fats is what the topic is for today. Yes, cooking fats. We're going to talk about the different types of fats. We're going to talk about the pernicious effect of vegetable oils on our body. We're also going to talk about what things you should cook with because, you know, we have to cook with something, right? We got to cook with something. So let's begin. Not surprisingly, a large majority of the vegetable oils in which we use in the typical SAD diet or standard American diet are highly destructive to our bodies. Now, some of you guys might know this. I already know that vegetable oils are not good because I've mentioned it to you before or you've just heard it from other places. Now, a seismic shift occurred about 60 years ago when we veered away from the age-old usage of lard and butter to industrial-grade vegetable oils. So prior to about the mass production of food, which is, you know, probably World War II, that's when we started doing, you know, maybe a little before that, probably. Yeah, because we started canning food in the early 20th century. But man, you didn't want to eat that canned food because those canning facilities, that's where you ever read Upton Sinclair's The Jungle. I mean, you would find like somebody's finger in there, or it wasn't properly sealed. And so, you know, you get botulism. And that's when you push on the top of the can, it pops back and up and down. That's how, you know, bacteria got in there. So it wasn't the best. But what really happened is Ansel Keys, have you ever heard of this dude? Ansel Keys, he was the iconic purveyor of misinformation of the 1950s nutrition. And he was the one who kind of pushed this idea that he pushed the idea that a high intake of foods high in saturated fat, such as all the animal products, led to heart disease and high cholesterol. And he also advocated a high consumption of grains and carbs, and he demonized fat. And this paradigm of low-fat, high-carb persisted for decades. I mean, if you talk to your parents or anyone who's over the age of 30, I mean, we're still in that kind of paradigm, right? That's why you still see low-fat yogurt, skim milk. And what happened was Keys was very influential in the 50s and 60s, he and his cohort. And the science was either specious or he kind of flubbed with the numbers, but he had very high influential connections. There was an article in Life magazine, back then when we had Life magazine, or Time magazine, where he was on the cover. And it was the belief that we should be eating more grains. We should be eating more grains and byproduct of grains. I mean, that's where we get high fructose corn syrup, for example, and all the industrial grade vegetable oils. He was saying that bacon and eggs and animal products were leading to high cholesterol, which was leading to high blood pressure and heart disease, atherosclerosis, and all the cardiovascular killers. So because of him, we had this paradigm shift. We had this paradigm shift. And unfortunately, this paradigm shift has not helped us. And it's actually led to the increase of heart disease and inflammation in the body. So before we discuss why vegetable oils are bad, we're going to do a quick review of all the dietary fats because they come in all different shapes and sizes. Most common are going to be saturated and unsaturated. And we're really not going to deal with why they're called saturated or unsaturated. It has to do with the bonding of hydrogen atoms to the fatty acid on the molecular level. And by no means am I a chemistry nerd, so I really can't tell you much about that. But saturated fats tend to be solid at room temperature, whereas unsaturated are not. That's why you sometimes can see that you leave butter out in the pantry, which is something that I went to Kate's place, and I remember going to opening the pantry to get tea, and there's like this big stick of butter in the pantry. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that. I've always seen butter in the refrigerator. She's like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. You can have butter in the pantry. I'm like, really? What about ants? She's like, no, not ants. They probably won't even touch margarine, since margarine's completely fake. But most foods and oils have a combination of different types of fats. So, you know, some things are going to be a certain percentage of saturated fat, certain percentage of unsaturated fat. So like almonds, for example, are 90% unsaturated fat and 10% saturated fat. That's their composition. Now, remember, saturated fats are not necessarily bad. We have this idea that saturated fats are bad. So the point of this podcast is to kind of go over some of these things and kind of view it from a paleo mind, because definitely the view of industrial grade vegetable oils being bad is very paleo. Even though Mercola, I remember hearing an interview by Dr. Mercola, who probably has the most visited health site. And he said the two biggest killers in America are sugar and vegetable oil. So it's not just, I suppose, a paleo kind of paradigm view. So trans fats and partial hydrogenated vegetable oils. Let's cover those first. Trans fats. The trans fats. These guys you need to avoid at all costs. Unfortunately, they occupy a large majority of aisles in the supermarket, from snacks and cookies and chips and crackers and frozen foods to fried foods and cooking oils. Partially hydrogenated fats are created by chemically treating vegetable and seed oils at high temperature to make them solid. We like doing that. This action is done to increase shelf life and enhance flavor. That reminds me kind of a food dyes. Perusing the back of your prepackaged processed foods will illustrate the omnipresence of partially hydrogenated fats. They are everywhere. They are everywhere. So I've mentioned, or I did the article on the 53 code words for MSG, trans fats, and sugar. And trans fats are highly destructive, but they're coated. And the biggest code for them is partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. And one of the biggest places that you'll see this in which you don't think that it'll be there is peanut butter. I think I've mentioned this in the Ideal Pantry. Even though I put my peanut butter in the fridge, or my almond butter, depending what I have, I like it cold with blue corn chips. But that's the biggest code word, is hydrogenated vegetable oil. So you'll find it on the typical, if you buy the typical lowest end and most inexpensive peanut butter, we'll have that. But guys, if you look at Hot Pockets, if you look at frozen meals, if you look at any pastries, if you buy any pre-made honey buns and ding dongs and Twinkies and muffins, they're in that as well. You'll find them in an astonishingly high amount of like Pop-Tarts, just anything that's typically, it doesn't even have to be sweet. It's just anything that's pre-made because, as I just mentioned, it enhances shelf life and flavor. And so, and it's dirt cheap. And it's dirt cheap because vegetable oils, and this is something I didn't mention, but the corn industry in America is subsidized by the government, which makes corn and rapeseed, canola, all these soybean, and infinitely cheap because they're all subsidized. And that is one of the incentives to get them in the food, why big food got them in the food. Now, Ansel Keys, back in the 40s and 50s, unbeknownst to what we knew at the time, he was getting a kickback from big grain, so to speak, big food, big grain, to push that vegetable oil should be used because, of course, it was a great boon to big food manufacturers to get vegetable oils into our house and get lard and butter, which we've been using since the, you know, essentially the beginning of time, out of the house. Fried foods are fried in rancid vegetable oil, which turns them into trans fats. I think most of you guys know that. French fries, anything that's fried, donuts are going to be naturally have trans fats. So when I talk about trans fats and partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, just know it's essentially the same thing. You find them in icing and frosting, but anything fried, you know, we love fried chicken. I'm not a big fan of fried chicken. I'm not a big fan of chicken wings. I don't like meat on bone. I think I mentioned that in the orthorexic podcast. So I don't like chicken wings. I do like French fries. I mean, who doesn't like French fries? French fries are great. They're great. But aside from that, I'm not big into like anything else that's fried. But French fries, man, tons of trans fats. And then they don't even clean out that oil that often. You know, they use the same rancid oil over and over when they're frying them. And I like Chick-fil-A because they're like, we use peanut oil. Well, they're like, that's so much better. Okay, peanut oil, great. It's still oxidized inflammatory oils. So these oils, the trans fats, wreak havoc on the body. They damage cell membranes and tissues in the central nervous and cardiovascular systems. I mean, there's numerous studies. So in eating foods high in trans fats and hydrogenated fats has been linked to heart disease, obesity, systematic inflammation, and cancer. Yeah, this is why trans fats are bad, because no one will dispute the fact that there is a direct link between high consumption of trans fats. Sorry, I'm drinking my moringa tea here. One of the Spanish teachers at school gave me moringa tea. Apparently, it's very common in South America. She also gave me some cocaine tea, or té de coca. I'm like, I'm pretty ignorant. Like, am I going to get a high on this? Is this like cocaine? Like from Scarface, is it cocaine? But apparently down in South America, they chew a lot of coca. So coca is the plant that cocaine comes from, but it's, you know, cocaine's refined. But they chew and drink it. So she gave me a bunch of cocaine or coca bags. So, but moringa, I'm not a big fan of the moringa taste, but it was free and I'm drinking it still because I got a lot of bags. So yeah, so no one disputes the fact that there's a direct link between trans fats and heart disease, and it causes inflammation. So, you know, when we talk about antioxidants, for example, why are they so important? Because they reduce systematic inflammation in the body. And when you have too much free radical systematic damage in the body, you have a higher rate of getting cancer, for example, later on, which is just unregulated cell growth. So trans fats are horrible for you because they lead to early death and heart disease and strokes and heart attacks and other cardiovascular problems. And this is one of the reasons why you need to avoid vegetable oil, because vegetable oils in themselves are inherently inflammatory. So when you are looking at your hummus and your hummus has soybean oil, for example, in it, stay away, go to the olive oil. So even though that soybean oil isn't necessarily hydrogenated or it's been very processed up, it's best to still avoid vegetable oils as much as you can. And it's very difficult because 40% of the processed foods in the market contain trans fats and partially hydrogenated vegetable oils. They're everywhere. Now, some trans fats occur naturally and should not be avoided. Like, for example, CLA. You might have heard of CLA, conjugated linoleic acid. Some people take this in pill form. It's a very good high fat that people take. And that's found in animal products naturally. So that's not something that you should avoid. All right. So stay away from the trans fats and the hydrogenated vegetable oils. Let's go to the saturated fats. Saturated fats are stable and they can withhold high temperature. They can withstand that. Keyes gave saturated fats a bad name, connecting them to all cardiovascular maladies. But there was a proven link between high intake of dietary cholesterol, which is seen in animal products, and high cholesterol in the body. And I've mentioned this before many times. Many people still believe in this erroneous assertion. And I believed it when I was younger too, right? Well, we can't eat the bacon. I read that little dialogue. I believe it was in the Definitive Guide to Egg, where I had the two guys in the diner and like, oh, we should eat something. I'm feeling, you know, kind of living on the dark side. I'm going to have something dangerous, like bacon and eggs. And the guy's like, no, don't eat bacon and eggs, Chance. You're like, oh, you're right. I'll get something healthy like bagels with cream cheese and orange juice or something like that. But we all kind of grew up on that idea that high cholesterol in our arteries is connected to eating foods with a lot of high cholesterol, which are animal products, because you only can get cholesterol naturally in animal products, just like you can only get fiber in plant products. But there's never been a study showing that. But this misconception is still out there. And because of this, a lot of people skew the saturated fats or stay away from them, even though they should be ingesting them. I mean, even the FDA recommends that we should be eating about 25 grams of saturated fats a day. Moringa tea. Saturated fats help fight against oxidative stress and inflammation, so they do what the opposite of the vegetable oils and the trans fats do, as well as hormone production, metabolic function, and immune system regulation. They're mostly seen in animal products, so meat, butter, eggs, and some tropical fruits like the coconut. We all know how good the coconut is. Saturated fats are only very detrimental when consumed with an obscene amount of carbohydrates, such as seen in the SAD diet, in the Standard American Diet. And typically, saturated fats are bad when they're eaten in non-natural state. So saturated fat in a piece of steak is great. Saturated fat in a Hot Pocket or in a Pop-Tart, not great. Not great. Going back to cooking oils, the key is cooking with oils that don't oxidize at high temperature. And these are going to be the saturated ones. As I mentioned, saturated fats can withhold high temperatures. And so these are the best to cook in. So you want to cook with like butter and lard, for example. They have a lot of saturated fat. All right, let's go to the PUFAs and MUFAs. These are going to be the monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats. Typically, unsaturated fats are seen as being more healthy, but you got to be careful here. So let's start with the PUFs, the PUFAs, the polyunsaturated fats. These tend to be liquid in natural state. The problem with the PUFAs is that they break down pretty quickly from minimal stress. So, you know, hot light, heat, oxygen. This is why a lot of the vegetable oils or even the olive oil you have, they recommend that you keep in a darkened room. Keep it in a dark room. So the breakdown can occur just by cooking, you know, just by a small amount of cooking and even frying. So as a result, when PUFAs are heated, they become much more prone to oxidation and causing free radical damage, which then leads to all the heart problems that we talked about. The most famous types of PUFAs are omega-3 fatty acids, which are quite healthy to the body. Most of you guys already know that. You know, omega-3s, right? Where do we get omega-3s from? Salmon. But there's other places we can get it from. But omega-3s, they reduce inflammation. They improve insulin resistance, which is connected to diabetes, and reduce cardiovascular maladies. Omega-3s may be found in eggs. That's why eggs are great, low protein balls. Leafy greens, we always know leafy greens are great. And oily fish such as salmon, but mackerel, sardines, all the oily fish. That's what you want to eat. You want to eat a lot of cold, oily fish. Go back to the episode on fish, on our little fishies. So we know omega-3s are good. The cousin to omega-3s are omega-6s, and there's also omega-9s too, but I'm really only going to cover just the two most famous omegas. Omega-6 are found mostly in industrial-grade vegetable oils. I mean, I guess that's where they're most famous from, are going to be the industrial-grade vegetable oils, as well as in nuts, legumes, and seeds. We hear so much about the beneficial omega-3s, but not enough about the 6s. The balance is the key. So omega-6s are not necessarily bad. We should have a high omega-3 to a low omega-6 ratio. And the omega-6s should come from natural sources such as nuts and legumes and seeds. The problem is that approximately 70% of our polyunsaturated fat intake comes from industrial-grade vegetable oils, shortening, margarine, and stuff like that, which has been processed. So I just mentioned that we want to get omega-6s, but we want to get them from a natural, say like unroasted nuts, for example, which I remember one time I went to the local Sprouts, which is like one of our local non-whole paycheck fruity stores. And I went over there and I got a big bag of unroasted cashews, just raw natural cashews, right? So I get in the car and I bite one and they're soft. I'm like, oh my God, these must be moldy or whatever. So I go back in. I'm like, hey, these are old moldy. I want my money back, or I want, you know, better ones. And the guy's like, he's from Lebanon, because I go there pretty often. He's like, sir, you don't know what they're talking about. These are raw cashews. They are supposed to be soft. I'm like, oh, I didn't know that, because I'm so used to buying the roasted in vegetable oil nuts, the roasted nuts. They're typically roasted in vegetables, and that's what makes them crunchy, right? So those are the ones you got to worry about. So the nut part of the omega-6 is great, the actual nut, but the fact that it's roasted makes that balance skewed. So as I mentioned, 70% of our PUFAs are coming in industrial-grade vegetables, which have been refined. And anything that's been refined, especially when it comes to these fats, is inflammatory to the body. And that's the problem. That's the problem. You might think you're not consuming a lot of these items, but you are, since they're very commonplace in processed food. So chronic inflammation in the body results when the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is disproportionately imbalanced. So we want to have a good balance of the 6 with the 3. The problem is that we're not getting enough 3 in our body, because how often are we eating cold fish and leafy greens? And we're getting way too much 6. And we're not getting 6 from unroasted sunflower seeds. We're getting them mostly from all the vegetable oils. And I've mentioned this in the Pantry podcast and other places, that vegetable oil, industrial grade vegetable oil, is everywhere. It is everywhere. Just go into the pantry right now. Put on your earbuds. Go into the pantry. Just grab anything that's processed, aside from like bread. But go into any snack food. It's going to have one of the vegetable oils. It will. It is so high. And that's the problem. So the PUFA is a problem when we destabilize it. And most of the vegetable oils that we use, either, of course, going back to our hummus, but it's in pretty much anything, are either going to be hydrogenated, so they're going to be trans fatty, or they're just going to be regular old PUFAs. But they're going to be have high omega-6, which is inflammatory to the body. Let's go to MUFAs. MUFAs are great for you, monounsaturated fats, the MUFAs. Studies show they help raise HDL, good cholesterol, prevent heart disease, and strengthen the immune system. So there's two types of cholesterol that we talk about: high-density lipoprotein, low-density lipoprotein. So cholesterol can't get around the body on its own. It needs to be kind of transported in protein molecules. And the best way I like to explain to my students is like HDL is like the vacuum that goes around and sucks up all the inflammatory stuff in our arteries. And LDL are the things that cause the plaque buildup and the inflammation in the body. And a lot of that's caused by sugar and industrial grade vegetable oils. So MUFAs can be found in a lot of superfoods that we're encouraged to eat. So avocados have a lot of MUFA. coconuts. Now, and I mentioned this before, like most foods are going to have a percentage of MUFA, PUFA, and SAFA, saturated fat. So the foods I'm mentioning here just have a disproportionate amount of monounsaturated fat. So avocados, we know are great, right? We should be eating them all the time. Coconut, we know it's great. Most nuts have a different percentage and variety, but most of them have a decent amount of MUFAs. And then olives, among other foods. The only issue vis-a-vis cooking is that they begin to oxidize under heat. So olive oil, for example, has a very high ratio of monounsaturated fats. So if you're cooking olive oil, you got to keep the temperature low. And most of the places that I've seen with the temperature on the olive oil is under 300. You want to keep it under 300 degrees. There are other oils that can withstand higher temperature than olive oil. But olive oil, I really is ideally best for like dipping and stuff or putting it in hummus. I talk about hummus a lot. Maybe I'm in the mood for some hummus, but using it more like a table item, and not necessarily cooking with it. So we over here at Naturopathic Earth recommend avoiding foods that are full of trans fats, partial hydrogenated fats, and PUFA oil. So these are going to be the oils that you want to avoid. Margarine was a man-made, like, what's the story of margarine? It's like made from like engine oil parts and automobiles, and they realized it never got bad. One of my favorite shows of all time, and Kate asked me that comedy question, but what show would I keep watching over and over? Moringa Tea. And she said Friends, and I couldn't come up with something, and I came up with Entourage. But really, it's the dramas that I love that I could watch over and over. And one of them that I loved was Mad Men. Mad Men was one of my favorite shows. Dull as hell, but so good at plot development and characterization. And there was an episode where Peggy is talking about margarine and its history. So I really shouldn't quote it unless I know it for sure. But vegetable shortening like Crisco, please stay away. Canola oil, which is a portmanteau of Canadian oil. I've mentioned that before. It's originally rapeseed oil. Again, rapeseed. I remember this is very off topic, but I remember one time about 10 years ago, I was talking to an old timer, like in the steam room, and I don't know how we got on the topic of like sex or something. And I don't know how we talked about it, but somehow the mention of sperm came out, and he came out literally, right? He ejaculated it out of his mouth. Now, ejaculate, the verb ejaculate just means to usher forth. We tend to use it sexually, but it just means to usher forth. But he mentioned something about sperm, and he used the word seed, and I just thought it was so funny because sperm is seed, right? I mean, it is the seed of life. And it was just so funny, and I started thinking, I was like, you know, back in the old days, that's what the old people used to say. They used to use the word seed all the time. So even worse, you know, rape seed. I mean, you could see why they changed the name to canola, rape seed. You know, this is the seed of I rape. Oh, it's horrible. Okay, and then the more common ones, canola oil is everywhere. I mean, canola oil is probably number three on the most ubiquitous inflammatory vegetable oils that we cook with. Corn oil is everywhere. I mean, corn byproducts are everywhere. How many food items have corn syrup in it? Not just high fructose corn syrup, but corn syrup. And we'll have a podcast on the 53 code names for sugar and MSG, and I'll go off the list of how many corn-based sugars are there that they put in our food items. Soybean oil, that's probably number two. Out of the most commonly used oils, it's everywhere. Safflower oil, sunflower oil, cottonseed oil. I see a lot of safflower, sunflower in chips, in my blue corn chips. I see those being cooked in it more than soybean and canola. So margarine, Crisco shortening, canola, corn, soybean, safflower, sunflower, cottonseed, avoid. Avoid, avoid, avoid. Good luck on avoiding it, but do the best you can. We recommend cooking in the following foods or following oils. Extra virgin olive oil. Try not to cook it over about 300, 350 degrees. It's better for dipping foods or putting on salads. Stay away from the large jug of olive oils as they're typically inferior. You know, that you can buy the cheap ones, those big ones, and they come in plastic lots of time, which is not the best. So you want to get glass bottled, preferably local, which is pretty hard depending on where you live to get local. Try not to get one that's been shipped over from Spain, because again, these vegetables, they need to be dark. They need to be in a dark, cool place. Once it heats up and it's exposed to light, it decomposes and becomes inflammatory, even something like olive oil. And you don't know how that thing was shipped from Spain. They could have left it in a warehouse in the middle of June for all you know. So you don't know. Just like the whole Diet Coke aspartame conspiracy theory about how they had, during the Persian Gulf War, they gave Diet Coke to a lot of the military, and it led to aspartame poisoning, and a lot of the troops got sick because of that. But that's neither here nor there. Avocado oil is another one. It's great. My understanding, it can withstand temperature a little higher. Avocado oil is pretty popular now. I actually see it now at the main grocery stores around here, which is great. So definitely use that. Refined coconut oil can be used, and you can cook coconut oil at higher temperatures. Like typically, I cook my eggs in coconut oil or butter, but I'd use a lot of coconut oil. It's full of median chain fatty acids, which are great for the body. I think we talked about that when we were talking about bulletproof coffee in a previous podcast, and how it's very good for your microbiome and your gut. You can also use coconut flour, which is a byproduct, which is great for baking if you want to use a non-gluten option. Organic butter is great, or ghee. I just love the word ghee. That's clarified butter. My understanding with ghee, it comes from India, so they use a lot of Indian cuisine. And it's taken out the lactose. So I don't know if it's taken out all the way, but it has less lactose. So ghee you can find at regular grocery stores as well. So try that out. And then the age-old stuff like lard, tallow, recycled bacon grease. A lot of these things we think about as being bad, but no, keep them. Keep them. So to review, saturated fats. Not bad from you, but ideally, when you look at the nutritional information on the back, you want to get your saturated fats from animal sources only. So eggs, chicken, pigs, cows, bacon, stuff like that. You know, milk, if you want to get full fat yogurt, full fat milk. I know some of you don't want to drink milk, but that's fine. You can get it from there. You can also get it from coconut milk. Coconut milk's got it. Or the coconut milk that comes in those cans have a lot of fat. So you want to get them from a paleo view of it. You want to get it from the actual animal. You don't want to be getting it from your frozen, you know, pizza rolls or something that's fake, something that's packaged, some packaged sweet good like honey buns. I always mention honey buns because that's one of my favorite foods when I was a kid growing up, getting fat, as I loved honey buns. And donut sticks. Remember the donut sticks that come prepackaged? Tons of saturated fat. So your SAFAs get from animal products. Polyunsaturated fats get from animal sources, nuts, grains, legumes, because those are the natural PUFAs. Again, going back to the omega-6s, those are a type of polyunsaturated fat. So you want to get a good amount of omega-6s and omega-3s. But again, going back, most of the PUFAs that we get, the unsaturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, are going to be coming from the industrial grade vegetable. So you really want to limit that or eliminate it as much as you can, and which is hard, especially if you eat out, because they cook. Majority places use the cheap industrial grade vegetable oils. But good sources would be nuts, grains, and legumes, preferably unroasted, so natural. Get MUFAs from all the sources, the monounsaturated fats. That's going to be your coconut, your avocado, nuts. Eat as much of those as you want within moderation. And then trans fats, you want to try to eliminate these altogether. So try to avoid peanut butters. There are peanut butters like Jiffy Natural that doesn't use it. They use palm oil. And honestly, palm oil probably isn't too much better, but at least it's not trans fat. So maybe it oxidizes at a slightly lower rate than the partial hydrogenated vegetable oil. But you can get those if you want to eat peanut butter. Most of the almond oils and cashew butters and almond butters don't have partially hydrogenated vegetable oil, so you don't have to worry about that. But the bigger culprit for trans fats for most of us is just eating out and eating French fries and fried food. So try to stay away from those or limit it. And the only natural place you should get trans fats is the conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA. And then limit or eliminate most of your processed foods. Stick to the old adage that I mentioned, if God didn't make it, don't eat it. And that's not an old adage because I think I came up with that. I need to Google search that so I can copyright it or trademark it. If God didn't make it, don't eat it, right? So I try to adhere to that, but I'm not perfect. I eat processed food sometimes too. So, I mean, it's part of being human. So last thing I want to mention before I finish off is I mentioned that we need to avoid the inflammatory vegetable oils. Now, if you're eating out, which I know some of you make it an effort, and I was so happy. One time I asked my kids, like, how many of you guys eat out 4 times a week? And a decent amount raised their hand. And then I asked, how many of you only eat out 1 time a week? And the majority of the class, maybe they were lying. Or maybe they were just, I was maybe asking them at night for dinner. So maybe after school they go, because I know a lot of them bring in tacos. This is another issue with public schools. They just allow these kids to just bring in food from the outside. Like, well, Raising Cane's is a pretty big chicken place down here now in Texas. And we have one near this school, and kids just go there off campus and bring in the food and just eat all this fried crappy food. But overall, I was impressed how most of them said they didn't eat out. And that's the beauty, because you can control the ingredients when you don't eat out. But when you do eat out, they're going to cook in vegetable oil. So I mentioned this in the eating out guide, that you want to ask if your food can be prepared in butter, because most places are going to have butter, or at least they should have butter. And I'm not saying go to McDonald's and ask this, but any sit-down restaurant with a waiter, ask to have your food cooked in butter, because butter is better than the inflammatory vegetable oil crap. All right? So that's all I have to say today. Enjoy your day. Try to get some sunlight. The summer is here, so the sunlight's out most of the day. Bask in the glow of the sun. Get your vitamin D and try to get some good sleep in. Until next time, take care. Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Courtesy of Art of Escapism.